What is going on, men? It's your boy Crimson. I was thinking about this moment as I was driving today. You see, your boy went out and bought a particular book by our beloved Grunt, The Warrior's Way and the Soldier's Soul. The wisdom behind the thousand-year stare, or the thousand-yard stare. Now, one of my personal favorites, one of my personal favorite quotes ever that I came up with was already in the book, just reworded in a better way. Whenever I was facing adversity and quitting or giving in or surrendering, I'd always say, maybe tomorrow. Definitely not yesterday. Definitely not today. Maybe tomorrow. And I always thought of that, right? And I'd always think about that because the next day would come and the battle would be just as easy as it was yesterday. The battle in my head was fighting for tomorrow. I thought that in this moment, right here, right now, I was fighting for tomorrow. And that just wasn't the case. I was making up stories in my head. But there was a better way of wording it. And I fell in love with the way that it was worded. I just don't have the time to look through the book, but I definitely recommend this book to everyone. Because there are times when I think of shit and I think to myself, like, how come nobody's ever thought of this? You know, how come nobody's ever thought of saying this shit or saying like these one-liners or these one words that'll just carry on into, you know, that'll just carry on and dude, pop created fucking hold on, turning the page again. Pop created 156 of these one-liners. Here, let me give you a couple. I'm only gonna give you four because on the fourth one is another one of my favorites. Actually, there's a lot of them. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, and if you're getting caught, you aren't trying hard enough. That's number one. Number two, a shortcut only turns rectangles into squares or squares into triangles. Number three, when in the company of killers, it pays to have thick skin. Number four, love is a down payment for future pain. All right, here, I'll give you one more. Number five, anger never goes beyond two dimensions. All right, fine, I'll give you one more. Number six, hate never goes beyond one dimension. I mean, it just. If you haven't, it's really funny. It's really funny because there was this book that I bought a long time ago, which was How to Be a Leader, that was written like how to basically it was the lieutenants. It was like a book that was meant for lieutenants in the United States Marine Corps when they were taking the officer's course. And I tried to read that book and it was like reading Chinese. I had no idea what the fuck. In other words, you had to be a part of that class and you had to be a part of that culture and you had to have understood certain tactics in order to understand that book. And no matter how many Marines I kept poking their head and trying to understand that book, I couldn't get it. So I gave up on that book. Pop's book is more or less like that, but for a younger, it's like it's really meant for a younger audience. Or not meant, but it can also reach, should I say. It can also reach a younger audience. That is the most important part of this book. I've tried so hard to put certain pain into words, into like basically one-liners like that so that it would resonate in my soul and resonate with others. And Pop managed to fucking nail each and every one of those in just a few easy phrases. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've, as I was going through this existential crisis, which is the reason why I played this video, was because I felt like Cameron when he was looking at the painting and just like the painting kept zooming in and it reflected him, and then it reflected the painting even closer and closer and closer. I was constantly going through that today. So you know the MGTOW, like the MGTOW symbol, how it shows two arrows? Well, it's funny because the one that's straight, if you were to put a cross on that one, it would represent a crossroads, right? But it would also represent the female symbol, you know, for women. And if you kept the arrow going down the other direction, it would definitely represent what we are, men going their own way. And it would also represent the male symbol. We've always done that. That's what trips me out. As men, we have always done our own thing and decided to just be who we are. So in any case, as I was going through this existential thought in my head, there was something that I touched on. Of course, it was, I was listening to, Jacko Willink do an interview with a former French Foreign Legionnaire. His name was Joel something, and I think I mentioned this before, but he wrote a book called The Pell, which, I got wrong the last time. I think I said it means go or to go forth. It actually means, attention. Or to call out. So in any case, they start talking about women in that book for just a short, I mean, it's like maybe less than a paragraph. But every fucking time I've noticed that the women that never stick around are the ones that are always looking for excitement, looking for adventure, looking for the next best thing. They're always out to find some type of excitement. And this is why I realized that a lot of these women nowadays, why they can't seem to stay put, is because we've created this theme park for them. I look at Las Vegas as an adult playground. And when you do the research in terms of the companies and the men that were behind it, some people lost their lives and continue to lose their lives today. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you know, those windows at those buildings, they got to get cleaned. This isn't something that, this isn't something that just works on its own. No, you got to clean those windows. And what trips me out is that, no one ever talks about it, but men lose their lives doing that, especially with elevator shafts. A lot of men fall to their death so that people can enjoy the ability and the comfort of going up and down with comfort, to be able to see outside of a window without any debris. Just those are luxuries, man. And people lose their lives every fucking day for those luxuries. So, where I'm going with this is the women that I've ever fucking known, right, have always been the ones to how do I explain this? They've always been the ones to want to look for adventure, to want to stop being the basic Becky, right? Because that's who they were all through fucking high school and middle school, and you know, just like a fucking Disney princess, like they want to change who they are, they want to be something different. Suddenly they want to rebel against the system as they're dating me. Like, what the fuck? You couldn't fucking rebel when you were, like, you know, when you were dating somebody else. You had to fucking rebel when you were with me. Like, I had a sense of rebellion, but it was tamed. It was self-controlled. I knew how much and how little to go out, and you know, how much or how little to drink. And I noticed that the women that I was dating at the time had no fucking self or sense of control. They had no backup plan. They were like, I just want to get to the party and I just want to get drunk and fucked up. They would get so drunk and fucked up that they would black out at the party. And it's like, dude, if I wasn't there, who the fuck was going to take care of them? You see what I mean? None of these pieces of shit. How do I explain this? None of these pieces of shit would ever think about that. And eventually, when I dated this one girl, she's like, you know, I remember when I got drunk with her. She was the one who pressured me into drinking, and at the time, I wasn't drinking. So we go out, so we drink, and you know, we pregame at her house, and I told her, like, I just don't, you know, I'm good with these two beers. She kept pressuring me, kept pressuring me. We go out, I get fucked up because I hadn't drank in like a year and a half. And then she has the fucking gall to tell me, oh, I don't, I'm not gonna go out and drink with you anymore. You don't know how to handle your liquor. I don't wanna babysit anyone. I'm done babysitting people. And I just remember looking at the phone, like, is this bitch real? And I just remember cornering her and telling her, hey, didn't you fucking tell me to pregame? And didn't I tell you to fucking, like, didn't I tell you that I didn't want to drink like that? Yeah, well, you know what? You drank anyway. And it's like, no, dude, you were the one who was fucking, like, pushing me towards that level. You were the one who kept insisting that I keep drinking. So I'm under the assumption that we're both going to take care of each other. So yeah, it got to a point where I was like, fuck this. You know what I mean? It was really ultimately my fault for drinking so much and for assuming that somebody else would take care of me. But it was also fucked up at the point that, like, she would insist on me drinking more under the assumption that, you know, she was gonna take care of me. And I kept telling her, no, I can't drink that much. And she kept saying, no, come on, it'll be okay. So, even people that go out and chase excitement are the very same people that will put you in danger because they're out for their own excitement, for their own pleasure, for their own gratification. They're not looking out for your best interests or for you at all. And so these are like the worst people to be around. They will fucking bring you down, they'll drag you down, They'll put you in a compromised position that you won't be able to negotiate your way out of. I used to be that guy, and I used to see girls that were in positions with guys like that. And let me tell you, dude, 9 times out of 10, they're getting their asses stomped. They're getting their asses beat. So I don't feel an ounce of fucking sympathy anymore when these girls end up getting caught up with some shit or caught up with the motherfucker. Because they were out chasing their excitement. They were out chasing that fucking adrenaline, that dopamine, that excitement of like some fucking stranger, right? Now I realize what, what's going on. Is that when men decide to go their own way, when they no longer want to participate in the dating market, when they fucking become socially awkward, you're draining. It's like when you take away narcissistic supply from the narcissist, which is ultimately just, it's just supply. When you're cutting off the narcissistic supply from the narcissist, which is excitement, ultimately what you're doing is you're strangling them. You're forcing them to face who they are as a person. And so these women that fucking chase after excitement and all this shit, they have to face themselves. They have to look at themselves in the mirror and realize that they're fucking drug addicts. That they're dopamine addicts. Having sex with strangers and you know, flirting and having like those fucking romantic moments and shit without getting to know the person and putting their fucking health in danger is no different than a fucking sex addict or a narcissist. And they're both one and the same. PUAs are no different than narcissists. The only difference is one prioritizes sex and the other one prioritizes excitement and validation. It's no different. Now all of a sudden I'm seeing a lot of these fucking pickup artists, they're becoming like, they're starting to just sit back at home and just roasting women on videos now, because they realize that the pickup game is done. It's over. So now they're sitting at home just reviewing, you know, reviewing videos of women getting turned down, women getting shut down, women complaining on TikTok, you know, women trying to fucking still get attention on TikTok. And I'm like, well, what the fuck happened? All that game and frame and all that bullshit that you guys were trying to peddle all of a sudden isn't working. Gee, I wonder why. You know what I mean? The only difference between, I don't know, dude. Honestly, they're one and the same. I was about to say, the difference between a sex addict and a narcissist is that a sex addict has two forms of supply. One of them is attention, and the other one is sex. And, you know, he prioritizes sex more than attention. And a narcissist will prioritize attention more than sex. But it's the same shit. They're just flipping the drug. It's like an alcoholic that fucking jumps onto weed or a fucking pothead that jumps onto drinking. It's no fucking different. I got a friend of mine who does the same shit. He's just like fucking always just blazing. As soon as he gets home, he's just fucking constantly blazing. And he wonders why he's broke. Just fucking just bowl after bowl after bowl after bowl of fucking pot. Excuse me. And then when he's not fucking, when he runs out of fucking pot, he's fucking drinking his fucking shit away, right? And he tells me all the time, oh, I shouldn't be drinking. And then he's fucking just constantly buzzed. Wonders why his relationship with his wife is all fucked. And I keep telling him, dude, you need to fucking fix yourself. Oh, yeah, I'll get on that. And then the first thing he does, he goes to the bar, picks up a chick who he has no idea who the fuck this chick is. This chick has more fucking red flags than a communist fucking parade. And what pisses me off the most is that she blatantly tried to hit on me right in front of him. And this guy's still chasing after her. this chick is constantly complaining that the dating market in Las Vegas is to shit, but she refuses to become. I even told her, you refuse to become a good person. That's the problem. Where, like, have you gone to church? No, I don't believe in God. Well, that's your fucking problem. How are you supposed to find a good man when you yourself don't believe in anything? Because there, in religion, there is a hierarchy. God before man, man before women, women before children, children before beasts. It's always supposed to be that way. And for whatever reason, that sense of hierarchy, like, no, we should be the, you know, we should, and it's like, yeah, when you were similar, you know, I brought up that fucking Adam and Eve thing to her. I'm explaining to her, like, dude, like, Eve fucked up Adam's life. And the only reason why fucking Adam followed Eve was because he didn't want to be alone. Period. He didn't want to leave his wife alone. Something that was created from his rib, he didn't want to fucking abandon. And then she brought up Lilith, and I'm like, yeah, and then look what happened to her. She was doomed to suffer for eternity, a life of pain and suffering and anguish and jealousy and regret. I'm like, does that sound familiar? And she's just like, I never read, she, what did she say? I never read the story of Lilith. And she took a swig out of her beer. And I'm like, that's not what I said. What I asked you was, does that sound familiar? Do you ever feel that way? She's like, oh yeah, every day. And I'm like, okay, so there you go. You're one or the other. You're either the jealous type that fucking, you know, wants to fight, you know, wants to fight and compete with men, or you're in constant suffering. Or you're both. So I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I live a life in alignment with God, and I've never been happier. And for those of you who, for those of you audience members who don't believe in God, I understand, man. All right? I'm not gonna try to force this down your fucking throat. That's not my job. What I'm trying to say is that, let me go back. Let me rewind this a lot. What I'm trying to say is that what I'm noticing about these narcissistic people, including the one who tried to hit on me at that bar, who now my fucking friend is chasing after, and of course she's using him as a fucking, you know, as a sense of, okay, so let's look at this from the dating perspective. She's using him for attention and validation. Now, let's look at this from the narcissistic perspective. She's using him for narcissistic supply. Just a dopamine hit, right? Whenever she wants to feel validated, whenever she wants to feel happy, like somebody's pursuing her and chasing her, all she has to do is just call him, text him, and he texts right the fuck back. She gets that little hit, and then she can go on about her day. He's still married. At any given moment, his fucking girl, his wife can just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I want to work things out. I'm sorry, you know, I've had some time to think. I don't want to be alone, right?" And he would jump right back into bed with her. This chick would be left out in the dust. And he doesn't seem to understand that. And she doesn't seem to see that. No matter how many good conversations, no matter how many times she sucks his dick, he's gonna go back to his baby mama. She doesn't get that. So, I've given up. Right? I've given up trying to help him. I've given up trying to show him. I've given up. And I'm not even being point blank about it. I'm letting him use his mind to realize, like, oh shit, this situation is similar to this, and this topic is similar to that. I want him to figure out the puzzle pieces and put the fucking, you know, puzzle pieces together. But what pisses me off is that you explain this shit to him, like, hey, dude, you're dating a chick, or you're trying to date this chick, and you're not even divorced yet. You're trying to be with this woman who, quite frankly, looks like she all she wants to do is just fucking drink and party and waste her life away. Which is exactly what he wants to do. Two peas in a pod, right? But we already know where that leads. There's this other fucking chick, like, you know, right down the street. It's really weird because the only women that I see that aren't interested in that type of lifestyle are the people that work with their families. They're working with their fathers, you know, on their businesses. They're working with their mothers, trying to, you know. Of course, they want to be saved, but they don't want to disappoint their family either. So they want a nice balance of both. Like, they want to be able to be there for their father and yet, you know, have some fun time on the side too. So it pisses me off. Like, I see good women everywhere. But those are the ones that are being silenced. How do I put this? Those are the ones that are being silenced and outpaced by the fucking whores out here. And I don't mean out here in Vegas. I mean just out here, period. I'm beginning to see that, holy fuck, like, there's a lot of good women out here. All I gotta do is just not go outside. There's a lot of good women. All I gotta do is just not go to the places where those fucking bad women are at. What, bars, liquor stores, fucking, you know what I mean? The streets. Fuck, dude, it's so bad. Dude, these women are so bad. Like, it's getting so bad that these women are practically walking almost butt-ass naked out on the street. That's how bad they need attention. I was walking and I saw this fucking fat black bitch fucking walking in a one piece with a bag of Cheetos in her hands and a soda in the other. And she's just like, just waddling. And there's no pool area anywhere. She's just in a bathing suit. And dude, the blocks out here are long as fuck with just brick wall. I think you know what kind of fucking neighborhoods I'm talking about. Right? Like those suburban neighborhoods where it's just nothing but brick wall. Or what are they called? Cinder block walls, just as far as the eye can see. Just chicks just walking fucking blocks of that shit. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Just in a bathing suit and a thong and a bra. I'm not even bullshitting, dude. It's getting bad. Like the desperation is getting really, really bad. Which reminds me, like, once upon a time, when your boy used to trim trees, I knocked on this woman's door, and she answered with a towel. Or she answered, and she was in a towel. And I was shocked, because she just, like, looked at me dead in my eyes like there was no big deal. And I was like, dude, half your tit is freaking fucking hanging out. I could totally see her, like, a part of her nipple. And I told her, hey, we're here to trim the tree in the back. And I tried to just be cordial, like I didn't notice anything. And she goes, what? What tree? Where? She, like, kind of came closer to me. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I better back the fuck away because I don't want any problems. Yeah, it was bad. Well, so, basically, the narcissist, fuck, dude, I haven't said that in a while. The narcissist will constantly look for validation and attention and for narcissistic supply. And the funny thing is that here in the MGTOW community, we don't see that. here in MGTOW, we don't see that these women are trying desperately to swing the table in their favor. But it's just like those prank videos where you see a woman trying to move a couch, and then the fucking and then the she's got the dolly at a fucking acute angle or at an obtuse angle, and then she fucking drops the couch and the fucking thing knocks her in the back of her head. It's like women are just like not paying attention to physics ever at all. They're never looking at counterweight and counterbalances, and they're never like trying to pay attention to shit. Like, hey, maybe standing on that glass table isn't the brightest idea. Hey, maybe swinging that cable around while the fucking fan, or the ceiling fan is blowing, isn't a really good idea. Or hey, maybe spraying fucking Aquanet while there's candles in the bathroom isn't really a bright idea. Maybe using fucking super glue or Gorilla Glue for your hair isn't exactly a bright idea. Do you know what I mean? They don't seem to get that. Like, they don't seem to just, like, use common sense. I know somebody in the comments section is going to say, oh, well, common sense needs to be common. Yeah, I get that, man. But chasing excitement, at some point, there has to come a point where you hit the apex and you're like, all right, I had enough fun. I'm never going to have this much. Dude, do you know how many times I fucking do that in a year? Last year, I hung out with my friends. We got fucked up at a country bar, and I was like, this is it. I'm fucking jacked. I'm 240 pounds of fucking lean muscle. I'm hanging out with my friends. I've got all these bitches fucking coming after me. My ex is like fucking regretting that I'm never going to reach this apex. I'm never going to live a life this good. Or no, that wasn't last year. That was the year before. And then I stopped fucking partying like that because I knew I was never going to feel that fucking alive ever again. When I went to my first rodeo, I was like, I'm never going to feel this alive again. This is never going to feel as fun as it is today. When I went out and when I went to that bar and that fucking ugly ass bitch was hitting on me, I was like, this is the highlight of this year. This fucking bar, this sucks, dude. I'm never coming out again. Like, this fucking blows. But after doing that 13 mile, dude, I almost said 14. Fuck, I almost cheated myself. I still want to try to do that 24 miles, dude. I'm still aching for that. I'm pissed. Yeah, after walking that mile, or those 13 miles, I was like, holy fuck, dude. And I did it in 5 hours. Last time I walked 14 miles in 12 hours. And, yeah, dude, it was hard. It was really, really fucking hard. But I did it, and that was after an 8-hour shift. Or no, that was after a fucking 12-hour shift. One day I got out of work and I was like, you know what, dude, I need a fucking credit card. And that's going to be all the way in Fullerton. And I need to take Florence all the way down from, what was it, Garfield? Yeah, it was Garfield and Florence. I needed to take it all the way down Florence until Florence hit, fuck, what street was it? No, was it Florence? I think it was another street. It doesn't matter. I needed to take that street all the way down to basically entering another county. It was like going through five fucking cities in order to get to the next county. And over here, excuse me, back home in California, the cities are pretty fucking huge. So I needed to cross five fucking cities in order to get to the next county. And that was 14 miles. And in the beginning, I thought I was a badass and I was running it. And I was like, I bet I can run 14 miles. Fucking not even 2 miles in, I was dead. And I was like, oh shit, I just fucked myself. I better pace myself. And I just started baby stepping it the whole way. Every once in a while, I would do little spurts, little blasts. And I realized, like, fuck, dude, the weight I'm carrying, this is dumb. I haven't practiced this. I haven't done this before. So I would stop periodically, take a break, drink water, and then just take another fucking, walk another mile and then stop. And this time around, I was like, fuck it, dude. It's all or nothing. See what we got in the tank. I literally like went from the center of Vegas all the way to the end, all the way till touching one of the ends of fucking Vegas. That's how far I made it. And I was like, all right. Fucking Vegas ain't so big, actually. I wonder if I could walk all the way back. So I tried it, and I was like, fuck it. Yeah, next time. Maybe when I'm not under a fucking hourly deadline. That was the problem. I was trying to fucking make it back before 8 o'clock so I can help my friend move, which was a mistake because I started pacing myself a little quicker and that's when I injured myself. Any case, one of the things that I realized, right? Was that is what excites me. Pushing my boundaries, pushing my limit, achieving the impossible, the seemingly impossible. When people used to tell me, dude, you're too old to do that, and I did it, people were fucking surprised. Like, no, bro, tree trimming is a young man's game. And I'm like, then how come these guys at 55 are able to do it? Watch this. And I'd fucking, just do it. Went from a fucking groundman all the way to a climber. Well, a junior climber. It's not really the same. You're able to achieve like certain heights with certain trees. You're able to identify species but not sicknesses. You're able to know that, hey, I'm not gonna fucking, keep your equipment clean. Not the reason why. That type of stuff. So, any case, when I started to achieve and do all that type of stuff, I realized very quickly that the types of women that I was attracting suddenly were different. I started to change my behavior and I started to attract better quality women, calmer. And the sad part is that I didn't know how to handle that. Those women were calmer and I still wasn't. The more dedication, the more passion, the more hardworking I was, the more focused I was attracting good quality women, and I just did not know how to handle that. I would try to act the same way that I did when I was, a party animal. And it would just chase them away. They would run. It would turn them off. Because and they would always tell me, like, why do you act like this? It's like you're two different people. You act so mature and so sensible, and then out of nowhere you act like a fucking child. Well, one reason in particular is because I had to take care of my parents at a young age, which robbed me of my childhood. Now I'm coming to that point of like, all right, I'm ready to settle down with my emotions. But again, like it attracts a different elite group of people. And much more calmer, much more focused. But I feel like I feel like I wasted time. That's the problem. At 36 years old, I'm about to be 36 in like 2 months. I feel like I wasted a lot of fucking time because I dated the wrong group of people. I acted the wrong way. It took me a long time to, focus, go from being homeless to having a job, losing that job, and then having to fucking battle with this one and battle with my boss. I feel like I lost a lot of fucking time. Like I wasted 30 years. No, excuse me, 15 years. It bothers me. It eats away at my soul. And now that I'm focused, it's like, all right, now it's time to get to work. My body's halfway fucking done. What can we do with the other half? And it's a sad, scary feeling. Because now I need to make every move count. I don't know, man. These are the thoughts that go on through my head. And every time I mention this shit to women that love to party and shit, to them it doesn't even dawn on them. They don't even think about it. They don't even feel it. Either that or they're trying so hard to bury it underneath so much partying and excitement that they don't want to think about it. They want to think about the next fun thing to do. Like they're still in high school. And then they wonder, like they roam the streets wondering why they can't find any good men. It's like they want somebody to party with and still be responsible. And here's the thing, I used to be that guy. And the girl that dated me, I just wasn't enough because I didn't bring enough drama into her life. No, I've got to be responsible, and I've got to be able to party, and I've got to be able to bring drama, and I got to be able to dick her down, and I got to be able to fucking maintain her and her kids. It's just like this fucking juggling of chainsaws. I don't know if you guys ever saw that cartoon where, like, this guy, I don't know, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. It's probably a cartoon like in the 40s or 50s. I'm judging it by the animation that I'm playing in my head. It was very classic in terms of its film quality, like the grain, and kind of like the. You know how they played music, but they didn't talk? And they played just sounds? Especially a lot of, like, slide whistles. Well, any case, this fucking cartoon character, what I'm picturing is I think it might have been Daffy Duck. I could be wrong. But it was a duck who was in a, what is it? A circus outfit. And he's juggling a chainsaw, an elephant, a tiger, and the tiger's trying to bite his head off as he's juggling him. And then the elephant's trying to fucking, like, maul at him. And the chainsaw is like about to fucking cut him. And he's just juggling this dangerous shit, right? Oh yeah, and every time like the tiger tries to like swipe at him as the as it's the tiger's turn to get past. The fucking character ducks his head into his collar, and then he peeks out, and then the elephant's trying to like wrap their tr you know use their trunk to like strangle him, and so he has to like move his neck. It's a pretty funny ass cartoon. But that's exactly what I had to do with my ex. And no matter how hard I tried to make her happy, nothing ever made her happy. She was always just upset and pissed and annoyed. So I gave up. I gave up trying to make her happy. Yep. Well, any case, I was having that existential fucking crisis in the car. Women that look for excitement are the ones to be avoided with everything, with all, with at all fucking costs. Any case, guard your heart.